As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The games of the 32nd Olympiad in 2020 are awarded to the city of Tokyo.
Japan, Canada, Great Britain, Chile.
And whites! Yeah. Brilliant!
China, Brazil, Zambia, the Netherlands.
What a goal from Jill Roy.
Sweden, USA, Australia, New Zealand.
And Sweden are taking Team USA apart here in Tokyo.
Hello, welcome along to the Offside Rule Olympics edition as we reach the business end of the Tokyo Games, as far as women's football is concerned anyway. The final whistle has not long gone in the second semi-final and we now know that Canada and Sweden will be fighting it out for the gold medal on Friday. On semi-finals day, we had the luxury of a break between kickoffs, which means for those of us that have been juggling multiple screens the last few days, we've been able to give our entire focus to all of the action. We haven't missed a single kick. And casting their eyes over today's two matches have been the Ant to my Deck, the Bright to my Daily, the Risa to my Weigman. I'm not sure that one works as well. It's Kate Borsay. Hello, Kate.
I don't think you're replacing me, are you? A bit like Risa and Weigman, but unless no. Someone hasn't sent me a memo. I'm fine, Linz. How are you?
I'm good. Although we have had a bit of baton passing between us during
this Olympics.
So maybe
it's
that's why it does sort of cover us.
Safely back together now.
Yes. And after seeing her message that flashed up on my phone during the quarterfinals that just read, "I'm so freaking pumped," it's former Matilda and sport producer, broadcaster extraordinaire, Eish Ferguson, because I thought I'd get right in with the nicknames, Alicia.
Thanks, Hoops. I heard that nickname for you, didn't I, just recently? I was still so freaking pumped. I'm loving it.
You should be. Hey, we'll get on to all of that in just a moment. Now, if the quarterfinals were all about goals, both of you, these semi-final matches felt like they were all about caution. That's the word that I've used. You might have a different one, but only one goal in each game. What did you make of it, starting with Alicia?
I'd agree with you, Linz. Yeah, definitely caution, but that's what you have to do. You have to go out in these games to not lose, which sounds quite negative, but it's not. You need to take a very cautious approach and see where the game takes you, and that's exactly what we got.
And that's because this is where there's so much at stake, right, Kate? What did you think?
Well, I'll give you three words, and that is Canada surprise package. I think they did really well. Well, they've won for the first time in, 20 years against the USA? And that's why I say surprise package, because they've had a fairly good tournament, but they are getting better and better and tougher and tougher. And Australia, look, I think three words for them, heads held high. If I was them, I'd be going into that bronze medal match against a USA team that I don't fancy at all and really going for it, walking away with a medal because they deserve it.
Given I got the really tough end of the draw when it came to the sweepstake, I am actually going to jump in here and say at the very beginning in our preview show, I said Canada were ones to watch and that I described them as having the perfect setup. This doesn't happen very often though, Kate, as you know, we do these things. So when you get something partially right, you want to draw attention to it. I just said that they had a really great mix of that youth and experience. And I wonder if that's something that you think has played a part, Alicia.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because they're bronze medalists coming into this Tokyo Olympics. So it's not like kind of
twice over.
A surprise.
No, exactly. No, but so, I think you know, it is, though.
Yeah, look, I understand it. They're almost like they fly under the radar, don't they? They're the ones that are the almost haves and maybes. But Canada and Australia, I feel like, are very similar in the fact that, you know, we're kind of forgotten a lot of the time. People discount us for the technical and tactical awareness and stuff like that. But the belief, the resilience continues to grow with these teams. And, what a monkey off their back to beat the USA in a semi-final in Olympics, finally, and kind of shaking their fists at them going, yeah, see, we can beat you. How about that? How you like them apples? And look, it was a really resilient, tough performance by Canada, and they're a difficult team to break down. They're a difficult team to beat.
Okay, well, we'll get right into it then. We'll go in chronological order today and start with World Champions USA going up against their North American rivals, Canada, that we've just touched on. This is how that semi-final played out.
This, the biggest decision of these Olympic Games. She's checked it, and it's a penalty to Canada. Fleming against the substitute goalkeeper. And it's brilliantly executed, and Canada are ahead.
There you have it, Jessie Fleming's penalty on 73 minutes, and what a penalty it was. It was the only thing to separate these two sides. Canada, who've previously won two bronze medals in Olympic Games, reached their very first Olympic final. I think we start by saying that this contest, it felt like one to lower the heart rate, if anything, if you get my drift, Alicia.
Yeah, of course. Look, it's one of those things, like I said, as a player, going into these, there's so much at stake. I think caution is definitely the mindset, especially in the first 45 minutes of any of these games, that it's not to concede, not to lose the game in the first 45 minutes. So especially for Canada against the USA, who are world champions. And again, they haven't beat them in a hell of a long time. So there is a lot at stake. But I thought they did really well. They were compact. They made it difficult for the USA. On the flip side, I still don't think the USA are very impressive at the moment. They just can't get themselves together, can they? There is no fluidity to any of their play. It just seems so disjointed. But again, not taking anything away from Canada, because I thought there was really good performances across the pitch. And I thought, you know, Jessie Fleming, still one of the youngsters in that team, but still extremely experienced, took a great penalty under immense pressure, 73rd minute. And it's nice to see an upset, isn't it? It's really nice to see an upset.
Look, I make notes throughout matches, and I'm not an over note taker, if that makes any sense. I just tend to write down a couple of bullet points. And for the beginning of this match, there are these words. I'd put physical. I'd put Kelly O'Hara, so much room down the right flank. And then it felt, Kate, like the first thing that really happened of note was the goalkeeper injury. If you can just talk us through what your take on that was, because the comms, you could hear so clearly what the different benches were saying. And Canada's bench were like, test the goalkeeper.
Yeah, well, there was a clash, wasn't there, with Alicia Nair around 20 minutes. She picked up a knee injury. She wanted to carry on, although the subkeeper, Adriana French, was sort of warming up and we thought that was going to happen. But she stayed on. And the first time she did a goal kick, she winced in pain and she came off. So therefore, you've then got a goalkeeper who's not had a run out at all at this tournament on for the USA. So that didn't help them. I think my kind of initial notes on them, and obviously looking at selection, Alex Morgan started, Lynn Williams started, Tiana Davidson at the back as well. She's quite a young player and she was taking their corners. So they'd kind of made the set piece change as well. So I was interested to see whether that would do anything for them. And it didn't really. I mean, the first 30 minutes, USA had the better possession, but they just didn't connect. They didn't make anything of it at all. I thought that they were sort of narrow at times. They just didn't seem to exploit the space like they did under Jill Ellis. And that could also be something to do with, you know, age or fatigue. But yeah, I got really frustrated watching them again.
I got frustrated after hearing that bellowing remark of test this goalkeeper, you know, this is the first tournament experience for her. As a former player, Alicia, what was your take on that? The fact that Canada, they were defending so well, but they weren't testing at that point.
No, of course not. But what Kate said about, you know, Kelly O'Hara having that space down the right-hand side, because Canada just wanted to make the whole centre of the pitch so compact and make it difficult for the USA to break them down through the middle of the pitch, there's been changes to this team. I still think I wasn't sure that the starting lineup was the most impactful against Canada. I don't know. I just feel like when you remember the US teams, really successful teams, and there's never any changes to the starting lineup. It's like the starting 11 is it. And there's no questions.
But that's what you get when you take older players out there. You basically have to make changes. If you want to take that many over 30s, you have to make changes.
Yeah, but those changes, you need to make sure that those changes are standing up to the experience and the quality of those over 30 players. And I'm not saying all of them. I definitely think like Carly Lloyd shouldn't be a starter. I think Megan Rapinoe should have played a bigger role, because every time she came on, she definitely made a difference. But giving her half an hour in games where they're trying to catch up and stuff like that, and even just she's won things as the experience. Sammy Mewis, I think, is a better option to Lindsay Horan. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
In midfield.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
That's just me. Kristen Press also has been exceptional in their warm-up games, and then she doesn't start this game. And I just think against a Canadian defence, I just don't think he got it right. I don't think it was right.
It was really, really lacklustre. And I have to say that the standout things for me all happened during the halftime break. And that was when Farrah Williams was caught saying, can I go for my break, or can I go for a break now? Or I love that.
And then you heard the microphone clunk down on the table. And I thought, I just thought to myself, I hope the microphone stays there and it's not anything plugged to her and she's gone to the loo or something.
Oh, ongoing audio issues there. And then superhero music. The music at halftime. Wow. I expected like the Avengers to come out of the tunnel afterwards. But hey, you know, they did in a respect, because this team, they made changes. And it's like you said, Alicia, you don't expect the changes to be this early on for a USA side. But Carly Lloyd incoming, Rapinoe incoming, Press, who you've mentioned. So those changes were made, and it was very early on in the second half.
They were. And I always, it's interesting, like, because it's very rare that a coach will make three changes at once. So it's, you know, I'd love to find out a bit more about Andonovsky's like tactics in this tournament, because he's definitely trying to impart his own style on this.
Yes, he still remains a puzzle to me, for sure.
Remains a puzzle, and I'm intrigued, and I've already working out who I can get my little insight into, because
report back.
Yeah, exactly. Because it is fascinating. Because you know, when you're in football, we always think this, like, whatever seems obvious isn't usually that obvious. And so I just think, yeah, look, I'm gonna be blatantly honest, where I think he got it wrong, and he didn't get it right enough times. And that's what has cost the US. However, saying that, they're still playing off for a bronze medal, so they haven't had a completely disastrous tournament, but in their standards, it probably is.
But they just don't look themselves. I mean, we've sort of said this before. Do you know, interestingly, there's a piece up on The Athletic by the Japanese football legend Yuki Nagasato. She plays a football over in the US now. I think she must be, 34, 35 or so. And before this game, she said the United States needs to have fun and enjoy the moment, not react to the match. Maybe there's some tension, but the US doesn't look like they're having as much fun as usual, and I don't know why. And I think she's got a really good point there. They don't look like they're having fun at all. They don't have those sort of heads held high, broad shoulders, that almost cockiness that we've seen in other tournaments.
In the second half, though, Kate, they did have their moments. And I know that you like to credit goalkeepers here, but there was this period from 65 minutes round about to 72. You had Carly Lloyd with that shot that was tipped over with one hand. You had Julia, a header from a corner. Lindsay Horan had that great chance. It was a really
tame header. And they definitely applied more pressure. But let's credit Canada for soaking up a lot of that pressure.
And Labbe with her saves, I think some credit has to go in her direction.
She's been great, hasn't she? She's been absolutely great. And Gilles as well, you know, how awesome a defender is she? There's some great stats actually about her defensive mastery I've put in my note here. So Vanessa Gilles, 19 clearances in this match, 6 more than the entire USA women's team, and that represented 45% of the entire Canada clearances, 23 for the rest of the team. So she was so important in this game.
And soaking up a lot of pressure for Canada, it worked for them, because then came the penalty decision, Alicia. And I think one of the things that I want to respond to, not only Jessie Fleming and how she put that penalty away, I'd love to get your take on that, but also the fact that she's come out afterwards and said that when Christine Sinclair handed over the ball, that had been decided the night before. She knew she was going to take it if that situation arose.
Yeah, I mean, a definite penalty. I think Davidson was definitely caught out there.
And clumsy, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was clumsy, absolutely clumsy. But hey, VAR got it right for once. Yay! Yay for VAR for once. But, you know, Jessie Fleming stepped up, and I was talking to Kaz Carney about this. We were talking about penalty takers. We're both right-footed and how difficult it is. And we're talking, this is getting into a very nerdy technical thing, but women who, you know, we talk about the width of our hips and our V angle, which means we're more prone to ACLs and things like that, which also means it's a lot more difficult, depending on your run-up, to open up your body if you're a right footer to hit it into the right-hand side as you're looking at it, so the keeper's left-hand side. And as Jessie Fleming actually stepped up and set up for her run-up, I went straight away, yep, she's definitely putting it to the keeper's left and she's going to spank it in. And she absolutely executed it perfectly. But it is one of those things. We've seen a lot of penalties in this tournament where players have tried to open up, but if you get it slightly wrong, what you're doing, if you're trying to hit it into the left side of the goal, your momentum is always going forward because you're hitting it across you. But when you hit it into the right side of the goal, you kind of step and like hit away from it. And so if you don't hit it properly, then you lose that momentum. But she absolutely nailed it.
There wasn't that much more for us to talk about after that penalty. I think you have to say the resolute defending from Canada was brilliant. Ashley Lawrence, Kate, how
yes.
ice cool was she?
Very good indeed. Again, another good performance from her as well. And I think a lot of these Canada names will be sort of coming into our remits, you know, certainly for those sort of populous women's football fans. A lot of them won't have heard of a lot of this Canada team. Jessie Fleming, of course, plays for Chelsea. We know about her. But yeah, I think a lot of them will come out of this tournament absolutely flying, and rightly so.
A couple of stats to leave you with. That was Canada's first win over the US in 20 years. And Bev Priestman, who's in charge of Canada, the only female head coach remaining in the competition going into these semi-finals, and she now becomes the first English manager to reach an Olympic football final since George Rayner led Sweden to the final in 1948. And that was courtesy of Asif Burren on Twitter. I thought I'd pick that one out. Final word, though, for Alicia Rapinoe, because Rapinoe said, we need to perform better, period. She always fronts up, though, doesn't she, afterwards?
Yeah, of course. And she's always honest in her assessment. And she is absolutely spot on. They didn't perform up to the USA standards and they got punished for it. So she's, as I said, she's spot on.
Athletic podcast listeners and especially fans of the Totally Football Show, here's some exciting news if you're that way inclined. The Totally Football Yearbook is the definitive chronicle of the not particularly easy to say 2020-2021 season, and it'll look absolutely ravishing on your bookshelf. It'll have features, season reviews, stats, quizzes and plenty more, plus a foreword from Jamie Carragher and lots of the good stuff from your favourite Athletic writers, including Nick Miller, Rafa Honigstein and James Horncastle, and people like Daniel Story, Duncan Alexander and Julian Laurent from Team Totally. The Totally Football Yearbook is out on August the 5th and you can pre-order your copy wherever you get your books today.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX, stream on Hulu.
Well, before we move on to the other game, Kate earlier caught up with Steph Yang, women's football writer for The Athletic, to discuss some of the fallout.
Well, let's reflect then on that heavy loss for USA, but Canada are in the final of an Olympic tournament. How great's that? Steph Yang, women's football writer for The Athletic, joins me. Do you hide the fact that you're a closet Canada fan, Steph, or are we just going to out you now?
No, I think I'm fairly open about it on Twitter, where at the very least, I can give credit to a good Canadian job, a good scouting job from Bev Priestman, and a good defensive performance.
Yeah, let's talk about that then, where it went wrong for the USA and right for Canada. I mean, I think USA sort of typified where they've been for most of this tournament so far. They looked tired, they looked tight, they weren't really playing much of the width for me at all. They just didn't play well, did they?
No, it's interesting you mentioned they didn't play the width because that's where they had to go. Canada plays, I think I mentioned before, a 4-4-2 diamond, and they really try to constrict that midfield range centrally. The United States is being forced out. I don't know if you've seen the stats on the crosses, but they were having to resort to tons of crosses, but no targets. We saw them open up a little bit in the second half. They got the ball on frame. But I think the very first shot on goal for the United States was like the 64th minute. Yeah. It was a pretty good one. Carly Lloyd got it on target. Steph LeBay had to tip it over, but that's not a good sign, right? 64 minutes in and your first shot on goal comes. So after that, a little bit better, not enough. You know, VAR gives Canada maybe the little boost that they need. And here we are.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you think the US will be digesting this? I mean, I know that their style typically is to kind of not really discuss the losses and just move on to the next thing that they can win. But this tournament for them has been, well, it's been such a puzzle, hasn't it? They've failed to win in just four times in 44 games leading up to the Olympics. At the Olympics, they've only really won one of five games convincingly. The other one had to go to pens. They've just not been USA at all. So where do they go from here?
I think after this tournament, there will be a massive postmortem where it might get turned into a case study, honestly, for them on how to peek into a tournament. You look at other teams like Australia, even though they just lost to Sweden, which I think was kind of an unfair result, they're a team that has grown into the tournament. So their staff has, like, I think really managed them really well, despite the fact that they're now playing for bronze. Hello, United States. I think this will be something that the staff will be looking at. Multiple reporters now, right, have asked players, what's going on? You guys look bad. You know, not, perhaps not quite that bluntly, but the players all themselves are acknowledging, yeah, we played badly, and they can't or won't say why. So I think there's going to be a big internal to-do after the Olympics where they examine, they go over it with a fine-tooth comb, like, what happened? Something like cascaded through the team because they're all bad. Some of them are competent right now, but everybody is looking kind of not great.
Yeah, there's a question, of course, about the age of the squad. They are still playing for bronze, of course. Let me just address that first. How up for that game are they going to be?
I think very up for that game. I mean, this is your last chance to leave Japan with a little bit of dignity, right?
Yeah.
They know they've played badly throughout this tournament. They know that everybody's seen it, and they want to come out with some kind of result, something definitive, something to build off of for the future. Obviously, after this, you kind of go into that cycle in between the Olympics and the World Cup. COVID pushed it a year, so the World Cup's a little closer than it might normally be. But yeah, you want to come out of this with something to digest. Maybe it's a little less urgent because you do have that gap. But they've all got their pride.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And in terms of looking forward to the future, I mean, it probably isn't as simple, but I guess one thing that many people are going to be saying is they're going to be talking about the legacy of that team and how, you know, some of those players are getting on a bit. You would question where the team goes because those players are just going to get older. So are we talking about something of a revolution needing to happen here to kind of bring in a wave of young players? I'm sure they're out there. It's just that we've not seen them in this tournament, enough of them.
No, they're... Yeah, we haven't seen them, but they're out there. They've already have, you know, Katerina Macario. I would love to see her in the bronze medal game. Why not? Mm. You know, get her that big game experience because clearly you want her to be your one of the players of the future. We've got some players in NWSL.
We talked about Midge, didn't we, the first time we spoke in our preview pod. What about Midge?
Midge is one. I think you want to look at Emily Fox, who's at Louisville and is doing very interesting things. They're trying to ask her to be more than a do everything fullback. I don't know if you guys have watched any of the club games, but she's being asked to take on the responsibility of literally like crossing the entire field diagonally as a fullback and like making that attack for Louisville. And I think this is her rookie season. So she's one I think the United States is going to be looking at. Naomi Girma in the defense, you know, to, we don't want to think about it, but Becky Sauerbrunn, this might be her last tournament. Megan Rapinoe got asked multiple times and she was like, you guys are already trying to put me out to pasture.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, we can kind of all see it, even accounting for, it was 85% plus humidity tonight in the game. Players were coming off, their jerseys were completely like just wet, not even kind of like damp, wet.
Dishcloth
wet. It was disgusting. Yeah. And even accounting for that, some of these players looked, you know, the legs are going.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bev Priestman, still just in her mid-30s. And you can see after the team talk in the quarterfinal, how she was saying, right, next one, let's go and win the next one. And you're sort of sat there thinking, you're up against the USA. That's going to be really, really hard. But again, at the end of this game, she was like, right, let's go on and do it now. And you can see that the mental strength of these players, instilled by Bev Priestman, I'm sure, but they are looking so good at the moment in terms of that strength.
Yes, they are. They're looking like they're not afraid of anybody. Obviously, they're under a lot of pressure and they're probably feeling it, but she does have them sticking to the plan. She's like, this is the plan. If you execute it, you know, we'll get a result. And they bought into it and it's working. It's working. Nothing helps you more than that feedback loop of we did it, it worked. We do it some more, it works. And they've done it consistently throughout the tournament. They haven't really switched up tactically. They know what their strengths are with their personnel and they're sticking to it. Mm.
And after seeing Sweden, Australia, Sweden through to the final, they'll meet Canada there on Friday. Where's your money at for that? Because Sweden weren't, I mean, they got the job done in the end today, but they weren't amazing. They looked under pressure. They looked a bit sort of under the weight of expectation. Where do you put this on Friday?
Mentally, I think, yeah, maybe Sweden is coming into this on the downslope and Canada's hitting them on the upswing. So that could be a factor. I do think it was pretty unlucky for Australia not to walk away with the win on this one. But, you know, what can you do? The ref's call is the ref's call. There's nothing you can do about it. You have to play the game that's presented to you. So, yeah, I think that actually that result is maybe one of the better things that could have happened for Canada, because as we said, Australia is growing into this tournament. If they win over Sweden, even 1-0, I think they looked more, you know, aggressive playing through this game and just brighter with better legs, sort of. So, yeah, if I'm Canada watching this game, I'm thinking maybe I got the better side of the draw here.
What do you think, though, Steph? What's your prediction for the final?
Oh, no. I hate making predictions when I have an emotional stake because, you know, if I'm wrong, then obviously it was my fault.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, on paper, we've got to say up to today, we've got to say Sweden. But Canada, it basically swings much more to Canada than it did a game or two ago, right? So, yeah.
So on paper, I still think it's Sweden. If Canada wins, even with everything we talked about with momentum, I still think that's an upset a little bit.
Yes.
But I think it'll be... they'll give them a tough game at the very least. Honestly, it depends on Sweden. Canada has nothing to lose. They've already done the whole thing with Priestman changing the color of the medal. They did it. So obviously their competitors, they want gold, but a little bit is kind of like, okay, it's gravy now. We did it.
Yeah.
We got to the final.
Kate with Steph Yang from The Athletic. On to the other match then. And in the other semi-final, Australia took on Sweden in the Olympic Stadium in Tokyo.
Engeldal deflected shot here, which gives Micah a problem. It's come back off the bar. There's Blackstenius. And Ralfa hooks it in. Advantage Sweden. The Swedes, silver last time, will go for gold once more. It ends here, Australia 0, Sweden 1.
Just the one goal in this other semi-final too. Again, it came in the second half, but not long after the break. Rolfa with the crucial touch to guide the ball into the net after a deflected long-range effort caused all sorts of problems. What do you think the assessment is for this? Did Sweden defend brilliantly and execute a perfect game plan? Were there any nerves on show? What was your initial gut reaction to things, Alicia?
Yes, agree with your first one. Sweden... I think this was a fair assessment of the game. I think the Aussies can hold their heads high on this. I think Sweden defensively were exceptional. You could definitely see signs of fatigue with the Aussie team coming off the back of extra time. You know, there were question marks over whether Tony Gustafsson was going to rest Sam Kerr. So that just tells you, you know, the majority of this team has played all the games, and the humidity and the heat is really taking its toll. It's very, very difficult to back up and rehydrate yourself and get your body ready when you've only got essentially what is like 2.5 days in between games. But, you know, a shame. I think Tiga Mika also did excellent on that deflected shot anyway, because that was going in. And the fact she was able to tip it onto the bar. And then, I mean, Rolfo, I mean, she has to be close to the player of the tournament. She had that shot in the, was the first
Oh, the crossbar.
Rattled the crossbar. I mean, she is having an exceptional tournament. I mean, what a great player.
She loves a long range shot, doesn't she? So she was on the edge of the D outside the box. And that crossbar was still rattling a few moments afterwards, wasn't it?
She's also been really well supported, though. And that's the beauty of this Sweden team, isn't it? Whether you're looking at Caroline Segar, who's been awesome for Sweden. She's on her 220th cap in this game. She's now the 10th most capped international footballer of all time. But, you know, crucial for Australia was to try and snuff her out. And I think they actually did that fairly effectively in this game. My note is that it was a pretty poor first half for Sweden. They looked tense. They looked like the weight of it was on them a little bit. And in contrast to that, Australia looked relaxed, happy to be there, just looked much more comfortable than Sweden did. And that actually surprised me in that first half.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also, well, I need to give credit to Sweden. I mean, they were giving away a lot of fouls, but Magdalena Eriksson and who else is it at the back there, Bjorn, they were giving away a lot of fouls because they were so tight up the backside of Kaya Simon, Sam Kerr, were not willing to allow the Aussie players to get the ball into feet and then to turn and run at them. And they were willing to give up those like niggly little fouls close to the halfway line to break up play. And that's where I think on the whole assessment of the whole game, Sweden have been excellent in this tournament, and you can see how they've changed their tactics slightly with each game. And they deserve to win this game, I will say it. I think Australia put up a really resilient opponent, but we didn't look like we were creating too much, did we?
I actually thought there was a key moment in the game.
There was a couple, wasn't there?
Yeah. And also, you look at timing in matches, Alicia, and you'll know how crucial this is, but just before half-time, that Kerr goal, which I just didn't understand why it wasn't standing. Apparently, I mean, barely any contact, but apparently a foul in the build-up. That could have absolutely turned the game on its head.
Yeah, and look, that should have been a goal. That should have been a Sam Kerr goal. I was looking back at the replays. I was trying to see what would happen. There may have been a bit of contact, argy-bargy. Personally, I don't think there was enough. The referee decided there was. But also, she did blow her whistle very, very quickly. And you do have to think it was as soon as Steph Catlin struck that ball, as the referee blew her whistle, and maybe that allowed the Swedish defenders to just step off a little bit and give Sam that extra yard. I'm trying to think of it as from a player's perspective. I don't think it was a foul in the first place, and the goal should have stood. But, again, they're those crucial moments, those game changers. But then coming out straight after half-time, conceding a goal like that, then you know you're up against it against a Swedish team.
No doubt that this was the better of the two semi-finals.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Because we were killing ourselves at one point during the USA-Canada game, weren't we?
Yeah.
If that's not too much drama.
Enlighten us, Alicia, on Sweden and these two banks of four that they play with, because it feels impossible. You know, if you're Canada going into this, how do you break those two banks of four down?
Look, they're compact. They're organised. They're playing really well. And I get the thing with Canada that they need to think about is what Sweden are doing so well is their transition from defence to attack. They did it a couple of times. We've seen them do it time and time again through this tournament with Blackstenius, with Rolfo, and even Aslani. Once you give the ball away cheaply in front of them rather than in behind them, they have these outlets where they can then turn and run at you very quickly. And that's the biggest danger for Canada. And that's actually what the USA usually have, but actually haven't had in this tournament. They haven't had that transition and that potency of their transition. So that's going to be a tough ask for Canada. But you know what? Canada, again, they frustrate teams. They're compact. They're resilient. it's not going to be easy. And I do think again, you know, set pieces are crucial for both these teams because they're both very strong defensively and attacking wise with set pieces.
A word as well on the viewing figures for the Matildas. What have you heard from back home, Alicia, in regards to these games and how caught up in it everyone's been?
Hugely caught up in it. The fantastic thing is that the Matildas are the most popular sporting team in Australia, and that's not the most popular women's
even after the netball.
Before the netball, we are the Matildas. Before the netball, we are the most, and this is across men's and women's sport. This isn't the most popular women's team. This is the most popular team. And I think getting, 2.26 million or whatever it was, watching that quarterfinal is exceptional. And it's great leading into having a joint home World Cup with New Zealand as well. It's fantastic.
Have you, Lynn, had a gutted moment for Team GB over the last few days? Just hearing Alicia, you know, talk about the pride of Australia there.
Yeah.
It does. Perhaps we shouldn't dwell on it for too long, but I'm still genuinely gutted about GB.
My reaction, actually, I was gutted for Team GB, but it's the one time that I felt more gutted for an individual than I did for the whole team, and that was Ellen White. I feel more gutted for her. And it's a strange feeling because I've come away from pretty much every other major tournament where it was the whole team and you just feel like heartbreak.
Feeling a bit sick. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt it more for her this time. So this bronze medal match then, Alicia, it's going to be 9 a.m. on Thursday morning against USA. And they haven't been the team that we've all been fond of over recent years and tournaments. They don't seem to be their former selves at the minute. So have Australia got a good chance?
Yeah, absolutely. Even after that 0-0, not just the 0-0 draw that we had with them, but yeah, of course, this isn't the USA that we've seen the potency and the how difficult they are to beat that we've seen in past years. So there's a huge opportunity. But then, like I've said previously, the thing that scares me about the USA is when they have one bad result, then their bounce back ability of like going, right, that's it. And they're single-minded attitude about not leaving the Olympics with a medal, you still can't discount that mentality that they have. And also, we still look at their players, depth of squad. They've still got a fantastic depth of squad. They just need to get the right combinations right. And I don't think they did that today, but, you know, they're not too far off still having a very, very difficult squad to beat.
Yeah, I mean, you're being way too polite for an Australian. I think I'm just going to call it for Australia, this one. I just think USA do not know where they're at the moment, and I don't see how that's going to change in the course of a few days. So for me, the bronze medal is and should be Australia's.
Thanks, Kate.
Yeah, I think USA as well probably would want to go down in the history books as pretending that they weren't even there rather than being listed as bronze. Gold medal then, Canada against Sweden. Is anyone seen past Sweden for this title and this gold medal? I really struggle to, actually. As much as I think Canada have done brilliantly, I don't think they'll get the better of Sweden on this one.
No, I'm with the Swedes. I think on performance and consistency throughout this tournament, I think they should get the measure of Canada. So here we go. Canada will win 2-1 based on that assessment. There you go.
Yeah, I think Sweden will learn a bit from not having a great first half today. And ultimately, I think they probably have the talent and the organisation within the way that they set up to beat Canada. I think Canada will be chuffed to be there. And this is not a condescending thing to say at all, because they've been brilliant. But I think Sweden just have that extra level.
They are the only side as well not to go to extra time. Could it actually happen in this final?
Ooh, yeah, possibly. I mean, it looked like it could have gone to extra time, I think, even today, in both games, I think, because there wasn't a lot, you know, it wasn't as high scoring as we have seen. But I think Canada are just going to, you know, continue on being very honest to their, like Kate said, to their abilities and their style of play. They're going to go out first and foremost to not lose in the first half, to not concede silly goals, to keep it really compact, to frustrate Sweden, to try and, like, nullify any of their attacking threats. And then once you get to half time, anything can happen. And then you start getting into the mental side of the game where Sweden are thinking, oh, right, how are we going to break them down? We haven't been able to create too many chances. So I think it'll be quite a cagey affair for the final.
So the gold medal match is at the National Stadium. If you want to get up in the UK to watch this, it's an early riser, 3 a.m. I used to do radio shows once upon a time, Alicia, and they tried to sell me the fact that 2 till 6 a.m. was early breakfast. So maybe we could say it's early breakfast, 3 a.m. on Friday.
I don't normally go to bed until 3 a.m. So yeah.
I know.
We might have to make up some secret pact between us to maybe delay it in our heads for an hour or so.
Look, it's a Friday, Linz. Come on. It's like Friday. We all want to watch a gold medal match at 3 a.m. on a Friday and then just continue on into your weekend. You're all good.
If not only to see as well who wins our sweepstake, there is a head-to-head going on. Abby, who managed to pick Sweden conveniently in our sweepstake on the pod, against Kate. You got Canada.
I mean, I never win anything, so this will probably go the same way. But I'm so thrilled to have made the final.
Before we wrap up, I did have time to catch up with Mia Eriksson, who's a Swedish football journalist, to preview the final on Friday.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Mia, thank you very much for joining us on the Offside Rule. I wanted to find out, first of all, what the immediate reaction was to that performance, that Swedish performance.
Yeah, I'm still kind of sweaty since that. But I think it's, I just thought that it's a cruel tournament. You know, they play so tight schedule and everything. And then the performance, kind of dropped a bit, maybe. As a Swede, you kind of sat and just with your breath high all the time. But obviously, very, very happy for Sweden that they went into the game as favourites and they managed that. So, very happy.
And it wasn't just Sweden that were having a cautious approach in these semi-finals. I think that was across the board. It does feel like just taking a gauge of social media and reactions to the women's football at the Olympics that Sweden have been the team that have been the most consistent, and many saying, you know, from that first result against USA onwards, they have been the team that have earned this place in the final. Is that how you're feeling?
Yes, I do. I think they earned this because they've been performing so consistently, you know, they have a lot of medals in championships and big tournaments and that must say something, right?
I think sometimes as well when you assess team performances, often there are a few individuals that shine. And today, and I probably think in the last round as well, Rolfa has been one of those players. Are there other individuals that are getting more press in Sweden than others?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them has been signed by clubs outside Sweden ahead of this tournament. So, of course, it's a lot of media on them. And also players that are rumoured to go. I mean, Stina Blackstenius has been brilliant. She had a bit of a rough time after she went abroad the first time after playing very good in Linköping. And now it feels like she's really back to perform on this big stage.
Would one criticism be the first 20 minutes of this semi-final, there were some nerves on show, and then taking that forward into the final, they are going to be the favourites. How do you think Sweden cope under pressure?
I think they cope well, I must say that. But since if we're going to watch the back line, he didn't play the same back line until this game, actually, from the game before. And then we have a player like Natalie Björn, who hasn't been playing regular for Sweden in the back line before. She has been playing in the midfield. And she hasn't been a clear starter. And then, I mean, obviously it must affect them in some way. But overall, I think they know what they're there to do, and they did it.
And what are they to do in this gold medal match, do you think, to get the better of Canada? What are the biggest threats from the Canadian team?
I think it's kind of obvious because in some way, I must say that Canada put on a very solid defensive display today and in their quarterfinal as well. So it's up to Sweden to break that down because I don't think that Canada has been that threatening going forward yet. While Sweden has been clinical when they get their chances.
Can you paint a picture for us finally, Mia, of what a gold medal would mean for Sweden and how you think the nation would react to that?
I think it's been a little bit in the media about the fact that our Swedish national team for women hasn't been that... they don't show it enough. I mean, it was today, actually, I think it was the first time today that I saw a Swedish reporter in Sportbladet that had written about Sweden's analysis ahead of this game. They're finally going deep. But when they won the gold medal in the World Cup 2019, I mean, it was so many people that showed up in Gothenburg when they arrived back home. And I hope, I mean, it's a special time we're living in right now with a pandemic going on and all. But I hope Sweden will find a way to really show their appreciation if they go ahead and win this medal.
We wish you all the very best in that final. It's going to be a great spectacle, a great occasion for both Sweden and Canada. And either way, gold or silver. Mia Eriksson, Swedish football journalist, speaking to me there. Alicia, it's been grand having you on again. We always love having you. Not so many nicknames today.
No, not as many, but I'm glad I can keep educating you on them hoops.
Yes.
What's your nickname for me, Alicia? Because I feel like I've dodged a bullet here, or I feel like I'm not part of the inner sanctum of Alicia Ferguson.
Yeah, Kate, I don't think, because your last name's Borso, you'd be something like Borso, which might not be attractive.
The Borse. The boss is what, yeah. The boss,
the
yeah.
The boss. I like the boss. Okay, you are now the boss from now on. That's it. Marvelous. The boss and hoops.
I can tell she's absolutely thrilled with that, Alicia. I can tell.
I think it's better than Borso, isn't it? Oi, Borso. Yeah. How you going,
mate? We will have two more shows. I think it's worth reminding our listeners before we sign off completely. So there will be a bronze medal show. We'll go full in, two-footed. on the bronze medal match between Australia and USA. And then we'll do so again for the gold medal match. So do join us for that. You can get a subscription to The Athletic for 33% off by heading to theathletic.com/offside. And that works out at just £3.33 per month. And it gives you access to all their great football content, all of our podcasts as well, ad-free, cheap as chips. That's what it says in the script. Thanks very much for today. Enjoy the next few days. I'll speak to you, Kate, in a couple of days' time.
Yes, speak to you then.
You've been listening to the Offside Rule Olympics edition, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Listen ad-free on the Athletic app and keep up to date with everything Offside Rule by going to @OffsideRulePod on Twitter and Insta. Find out the latest subscription offers at theathletic.com/offside. The Offside Rule Olympics edition is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.